of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com, and we're talking about the Vince Foster murder, America's Dreyfus affair. And we will take calls after the next break. We do have a caller on the line who's been holding on, but we will take callers at 313-943-9443 after our next break. But
the matter of the gun, we were talking about it.
Yes.
It turns out it was cobbled together from two different guns, hardly a collector's item. And again, one of my coworkers with the Puerto Rican gun was a former prosecutor, and he had told me about the concept of a drop gun. You know, that cops who are prudent in case they shoot somebody, it's convenient to have an untraceable gun on your person that you can then plant with a person you shot and claim self defense. He had a gun, see.
Right.
Well, you know, I learned the concept of a drop gun there. And if you look in the movie L.A. Confidential, you see its use in a case like that. You know, a lot of cops carry around drop guns.
Sure.
And that looks like what happened. Well, here he is dead, and there's no gun. So we need a drop gun. And somebody
right.
produced
Otherwise,
a drop gun.
Otherwise, you couldn't say suicide. You got to have a gun somewhere.
Exactly. Well, usually you have to have a gun. Apparently, in the case of the Oklahoma City bombing case, what's the name of the policeman who turned up dead? They claimed suicide, but the gun wasn't even near him. You know, and it's in Lyndon Johnson's past, there was a guy who was killed by a gun that wasn't even close to him, or shot several times with a shotgun.
Well, maybe they threw it away right after they used it.
Ernest Hemingway, you know, shot himself twice in the head with a double-barrel shotgun. Two distinct blasts were heard.
Amazing.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Well, why don't we go ahead and take our caller and let's take Ken in Fort Worth.
All right.
Ken, you there?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know, they basically think we're all stupid out here.
In Texas, hey, look who you elected governor.
You got a show, but they figure you can't find any books, okay? Hey, I'm going to give you a real quick. Robert Groden's going to court on the 9th of May. That's next Wednesday. They've given him 80 tickets. And he's suing the city of Dallas next Wednesday in a Dallas federal courthouse.
Okay. So how does that relate to...
What?
Yeah.
I just want to let you know, the sideshows are beginning to be main stories. And people should go to Dallas and back him up. They're just harassing this man. That's all they're doing.
Okay. So what do you do? What's the story?
He got 80 tickets, and he went down, and every time the judge threw it out. You can hunt Robert Groden on the internet, and you can read.
Robert Groden, yes. I've been to a presentation by Robert Groden. He's the photographic expert in the Kennedy case.
Right.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. And people should get on and back him up.
Ah.
Because, you know, charge the city and let him pay for his time. I want to make you a point. Since in 1988, we got Florida and Alabama would draw the call for the Constitution Convention.
We do have to go to a break. We will be right back with our guest today,
sure.
D.C. Dave Martin. Be back in 3 minutes.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
If you are a vendor dealer who sells any equipment or service that costs more than $15,000, we can help you make the sale through our low-cost lease finance programs. We are good in all 50 states, including Canada, and we have a very wide credit window. Call Bob New today at 888-639-2621 and let us explain in more detail how we can help you make more sales. Call Bob New today, 888-639-2621.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Guest today is DC Dave, or Dave Martin, and one of our listeners, Bob, wants to know if you had heard anything about Miguel sometime after his resignation had a sex change operation, and this
yes.
was according to Greg Szymanski.
He's now Michelle Rodriguez. That's correct, yes. We call it office, or a friend of mine called that office and made the discovery, actually, before. So I think it was he that alerted Szymanski to it. That asked to talk to Miguel Rodriguez, and I said, you want Michelle Rodriguez? Unbelievable. I don't know. It's one of the best observations somebody made, that he's the only person in the only guy in the case who had any balls. And now he doesn't. But if you listen to, you can find him. You can go to YouTube and put in Miguel Rodriguez, and you can hear him talk to. Actually, he's talking to Reed Irvine, Reed Irvine was alive when these tapes were first made. And his voice was edited out, so you just hear Miguel Rodriguez speak. And he gave his tapes to Patrick Knowlton when he was close to dying. Gave all of the, he recorded all of it. This is the head of Accuracy in Media. He recorded all of his phone calls. And in D.C., unlike Maryland, where Linda Tripp got in trouble for recording without notifying the person on the other end. It's illegal in Maryland. It's not in D.C. So anyway, Miguel Rodriguez talked at length about his attempts to alert the press as to what was going on and the cover-up while he was still working for Kenneth Starr. But nothing came of it. You can hear his very rather high-pitched and effeminate-sounding voice. But he, contrary to how he sounds, he does sound like a person who has considerable balls.
Interesting.
He really is fighting City Hall from the inside. They thought he would be compliant in the cover-up, and he was not. And that was a big, big mistake they made. But he's still on the job as Michelle Rodriguez now. Unbelievable.
Well,
he's pretty well dummied up now, too. He doesn't talk anymore.
Huh. I guess that's what happens when you go through such a traumatic change.
Yeah, that's just one of these little odd sidelights to the case.
Also, some listeners are asking where they can find your poems. And you might want to tell them, answer that question in the way that you would answer your wife if she were asking. Well, one time somebody was having trouble finding your poetry on your website.
Oh.
And you have the most interesting response.
Right there in front of us. Well, it's right there on my website. You know, all the poems are there on my website. Virtually all of them. I think I was on your program when my friend Hugh Turley called in with my salute to Newton. I couldn't find it on my website. Well, it's in my self-published book from many years ago, back before there was an internet, and I've just run across it here. But now I've lost the place for Salute to Newt. Maybe I'll find it later. Newt Gingrich is the topic there. So, you know, I have this self-published book, which I think I might have a few copies left, but that was back. I had that done when I was on the Jazz McKay show before they took him off the air. And the books would have gone like hotcakes as long as he was on the air, I think. But then they took him off.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I believe we still have Ken on the air online. Ken, did you have another question or comment that you'd like to make?
I got a comment, a political observation. In 1988, we got Florida and Alabama to withdraw the calls for the Constitutional Convention. Louisiana dropped theirs. Since then, you had Waco, Twin Towers, Randy Weaver, Oklahoma City, 40 gun bills in the House. It's all political pus coming out because the Constitutional Convention is not being held. Nobody talks about it. They're mad.
I'm not sure that would be a solution.
You can say whatever you want about my theory, but that's what it looks like. I planted a tree out front of the house in orange from a pit that was over your head. I know if I put the pit in the ground. But that's what it looks like to me.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting observation, and I thank you for calling in.
Sure.
All righty. Let's quickly take Davey in Texas. Davey, welcome to the program.
Good morning, all. I had one quick comment or question. Say, you remember when Chertoff was allegedly interrogating Maggie Williams and she relayed that, in fact, she took the boxes from Foster's office up to Hillary's office? Do you ever know what happened to that information?
Well, they say that these boxes ended up with the so-called Foster family lawyer, James Hamilton. Although Hamilton was a longtime operative of the Clintons. I think he was sort of foisted on the Fosters. He also is a fellow Davidson College graduate with me and Vince Foster a few years before, for what it's worth. Doesn't speak so highly of our alumni.
Right.
But that's all I know about. But I think there's been a lot of misdirection about what went on in the office. When you see a lot written about that, that's what they want you to look at. What went on in the park is a lot more interesting
Are you familiar with Hugh Sprunt?
Yes, I am. I know him quite well.
Okay. You know, another thing is an addendum is also Admiral Borda and Colby were also exited stage left. Good show, Deanna. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Davey. Yeah. Appreciate your call.
Yeah.
All righty. So you said the most important things happened in the park. So let's get back to
yeah,
the park.
Yeah, well, you know, the fact that what Patrick Knowlton saw, that's maybe the most important thing. He was the guy who was on his way home since he couldn't take I-66 without a passenger in the car. It's an HOV lane, high occupancy vehicle lane. The best way out of D.C. to this little vacation house he shared up in the mountains was George Washington Parkway. And it goes right by Fort Marcy Park. And he found himself with a full bladder. And there are people that of the female persuasion that don't know that the guy's, you know, the whole world is their urinal. For guys, and when it's a wooded area, and this is really an ideal place to not be bothered by anybody. It is not. I've been there on a weekend before. I never heard of it, by the way. I'd lived in D.C. for many years before this happened. I never heard of Fort Marcy Park. You just go right by it. There are a couple of scenic overlooks over the Potomac River. If you're going to pull up and admire the view, the beautiful view across at the spires of Georgetown University across the Potomac at the first overlook. And then there's a curve, and you just, there's an old sign that says Fort Marcy Park. And the only reason it's preserved is one of those string of forts, earthenwork, breastwork forts that were put up, and really, since it's wooded now, it wouldn't have been much of a good fort. But all that was cleared back when they were forts because of Jubal Early and his, you know, the Confederate threat to the Capitol. And it's preserved for historic reasons. There's nothing there. They have a couple of old Civil War cannons in there. And the nearest federal facility to it, do you know what the nearest federal government facility is to Fort Marcy Park?
What?
CIA headquarters.
Mm.
And it said that things are, the CIA uses it as their own little private playground to for putting you know, to dropping notes there and for liaisons. It also has a reputation as a homosexual liaison area. When they called him to the grand jury, they tried to discredit Patrick Knowlton. He was there for a homosexual liaison. You know? And this is really just a disgraceful performance on the behalf, particularly of Brett Kavanaugh, the prosecutor for Starr, who later George W. Bush made Brett Kavanaugh a federal judge. Another star minion, John Bates, was made a federal judge. So it's pretty bipartisan, this cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
But Knowlton saw two cars there in the park, and one of them was backed in, and there's a menacing-looking, Hispanic-looking guy in the park. And Knowlton went behind a tree and did his business, came back, and noticed that the guy had rolled down the window and was looking, staring at him. And there was another car, a brown Honda with Arkansas license plates.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes, but it was not, Knowlton has a very good memory, and I hear the music coming.
Okay, we have to go to a break. We'll be back and pick it up on the other side of the break.
Heart Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com. And you were talking about the brown car with the Arkansas license plate.
Right, and Patrick Knowlton there in the park and the urination that shocked the nation. Anyway,
You'll
saw.
You'll have to make a poem out of that.
What he saw was this old model Honda. It was a Honda, but brown to reddish brown. He's quite clear about that fact. And this menacing-looking man that's staring at him, and it actually, with the electronic windows on the opposite side, had rolled the window down to look at him better, and that really made him worried. He was frightened, but he got quickly out of there. Well, his name appeared in the initial police report. And it's, Patrick Knowlton, spelled N-O-L-T-O-N. They gave an address and phone number, none of which worked. And so nobody could find him. And to his credit, Ambrose Evans Pritchard, the British reporter, who's the Washington correspondent for the Telegraph of London, was able to piece things together. They say he was going to Etland, Virginia, a little tiny community at the foot of Old Rag Mountain. So he went up to Etland and did some asking around, and they found out, somebody knew him. It was one of the guys that owned the house there named Knowlton, but he found that it was spelled K-N-O-L-T-O-N, not N-O-L-T-O-N. and he was able to find him using the real name. And he showed Knowlton the FBI report that in which they said the FBI report said he couldn't identify the guy who saw him. And they described it. He said that he saw Foster's car. Well, the Knowlton said, here's a lot of similarities in the Kennedy case, too. There are a lot of changed testimony by FBI people and witnesses in that Kennedy case. They had written it. He said, yeah, he could identify him clearly because he got a good look at the guy. And so, that the car wasn't Foster's car. Well, he did a Sunday Telegraph of London, had an article with a police description, a picture of a police artist who had drawn a picture according to the way Knowlton described him. There in the Sunday Telegraph of London, in the interview with Knowlton saying that his testimony had been changed. And after that, he got called to the Whitewater grand jury, and then he got harassed on the streets of Washington, and that led to his lawsuit. And tried to discredit him before he went, and tried to intimidate him before he went before the grand jury. So what the goings on there, and also the fact of the 25 people seeing no exit wound, and even the first policeman to look at it, so he didn't see a gun in the hand, and apparently the body was moved a few times just to make it look more like suicide than originally if you just look the first people to encounter it. So lots of strange things went on in the park. Also, there was the matter of the keys. The police discovered they had a problem. I hear silence. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Never know. Sometimes the phone cuts off. They couldn't find any car keys. Well, what do? You go looking for you look in the car. There's no keys. They went through his pocket. There's no keys. They looked around the ground. There's no keys. Yeah, we got a problem. Right. Now, what would you do? Well, here's what they said. This was after the body then had been taken to the morgue at Fairfax County Hospital. They got the bright idea that maybe we missed the keys when we went through his pockets. I mean, they were going through his pockets looking for something as small as a suicide note. They rifled his pockets. You going to miss keys?
Not hardly.
Is that going to be? Are you going to say, well, maybe we ought to go through the pockets again at the hospital?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think you'd turn that park upside down before you'd go to the back of the hospital, but that's what they want you to believe they did. And in the meantime, a couple of people had come from the White House supposedly to identify the body. Well, there was no doubt about who he was. His identification was all over him. They knew who he was.
Right.
But this is a volunteer, and this is not family members. These are colleagues to identify the body. But lo and behold, the keys turned up at the morgue in the pocket. What do you know? It's very much like the briefcase that had been emptied out and searched thoroughly. And only a few days later, lo and behold, this torn-up so-called suicide note turns up in that emptied-out and searched briefcase.
Right. torn up in 28 pieces.
In the 28 pieces, one of which is missing right where the signature would have been, with no fingerprints on it. And if you tear something up, you're going to throw it away. You don't put it back in your briefcase.
Right. and there would be fingerprints on it, obviously.
Unless you had gloves on when you tear it up, there's going to be some fingerprints.
Yeah, so people from his office, his colleagues, definitely had some sort of inside knowledge about something, or were certainly making every effort to cover things up, cover somebody else's tracks. We do have to take a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Mommy, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Today is Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com. And we were talking about the note that was in 28 pieces. There was a piece missing. That would have been where the signature was.
Article, somebody listening might want to write this down and look it up, called The Counsel, the Cop, and the Keys. And it's the testimony of lead detective John Rolla, who is hardly the sharpest knife in the drawer, you can tell. His fractured English. It was his first homicide investigation, by the way. And they make him the lead investigator in the Foster case. Can you believe that?
Yep. I guess when you want to cover something up, you use
the incompetence excuse. Because he doesn't come across all that confident. His interview here is the lead Democratic counsel on the Senate Finance Banking Committee, Richard Benvenisti. Richard Benvenisti first got involved, came into public view in the Whitewater, not the Whitewater, but the Watergate case.
Mm-hmm.
He was also counsel for Barry Seal, the murdered drug pilot, CIA connected. Most recently, he was on the 9/11 Commission. His counterpart is the Republican lead counsel in the same committee, who plays a prominent role in another article of mine. called subtitle Master of the Cover-Up, Michael Chertoff.
Interesting.
Yes, Michael Chertoff. And his handling, I've got his handling of Cheryl Braun, the number two person in the investigation, and his exchange with her, and now he covers up the truth. And this is Ben Venisti's exchange with Rolla, where he leads the witness, a witness who's not quite smart enough to see where he's being led, and it gets off the reservation a little bit. It's most humorous. The counsel, the cop, and the keys. So that's the matter of the keys. On the matter of the gun, by the way, this is one of the things that made me suspicious in the first place. Who are you going to ask for? If you want to identify this gun, who's likely to most know if this actually was their gun? It's going to be, guns are a guy thing, you know? You're not going to ask his sister. They sent a picture down to Arkansas to one of his sisters to see if she could identify it. What the heck, his sister? His sons are going to know about the gun.
Of course.
His sons. The sons were never asked. They tell us. I bet they were. They're also, we were told, that the sons never showed up that night at the house when the cops were there. The first report in the Washington Post, by the way, was that the police were turned away from the Foster house by the Foster family lawyer. That was reported in the Washington Post.
That's kind of bizarre.
Extremely bizarre and not true, as it turns out. Not true, and the Washington Post never corrected their error.
More of that incompetence?
I called the park police and talked to their spokesman and asked them, how does this happen? You know, how does he have the authority to turn police away from their duty of investigating a case? You know, the sooner you learn things, while the trail is hot, the better. And this is a Captain Hume. He told me in a sort of a down-home familiar voice. He lied to me, too. He said, well, yeah, we she seemed to be all broken up, and we decided to leave her alone. We came back the next morning. Well, that wasn't true either. He just lied through his teeth. Yeah, when the official version came out, yeah, they said they did interview the family, and they were trying to find out if there was a suicide note and all this and that, and if there was any reason why he would kill himself. But they also said that the two sons were out on the town, and they never showed up. Well, in part six of America's Driver's Affair, I found evidence that the sons did come back that night. They made it back. This is according to, the Attorney General, Hubble, Webb Hubble, in his testimony to Congress. The sons did come back that night. The police did have an opportunity to talk to the sons. But on the official record, according to the cops, the sons didn't come back that night. But they probably asked the sons about the gun. They said it's not his. Or what sure. else? They probably weren't buying the suicide story either.
Sure. Now, our listener Bob said that he emailed a question or comment. Reed Irvine apparently wrote about how a Michigan tradesperson, a plumber, he thinks, had conducted a search for the serial numbers of the gun in Foster's hand. He got information back that revealed there had been two searches by law enforcement agencies of those same serial numbers prior to Foster's death, and a third search that was either about the same time or just before Foster's death in July. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, that's all true. Yeah, it's a little hazy in my recollection, and I have never written about that, but it's very strange. But that's right. Yeah, that's correct. If either Patrick Knowlton or John Clark or Hugh Turley is listening in, they can probably fill in the details of that a little more. But he's absolutely right. Something strange going on with this search for the serial numbers of that gun.
Right. And of course, it's never been traceable. Nobody's ever traced it to the owner.
Right. Right, yeah. But I think it's a drop gun. That's pretty simple.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
and certainly the sons would have known. They also showed the widow a gun which was different from the one actually found. I think it was black versus silver, the other way around, I forget. And she said, yeah, that looks like his gun, but it's different from the one that was seen at the park. So,
wow.
A little hanky-panky going on there, too.
Certainly. So but she identified the gun as his without actually seeing the gun that they said was used.
Exactly. Yes, that's the bottom line. But that they would not have asked the sons right off the bat, that's the first thing you would do. And they claim they never talked to the sons. I think the FBI later on for Starr did talk to the sons, but by that time, you know, they've been told what to say. Things are, the fix is pretty well in by that time. They've been told, you know,
sure,
what they're expected to say. The spontaneous reaction is the more interesting and more revealing. And the sons probably reacted spontaneously in a way that they don't want us to know, but that's why they tell us they didn't come back that night. They did come back that night, and they're not telling us that. I mean, just so many lies.
Right. And yet, you know, they get away with it. Because they can, because they run the press.
The press is that is the problem. Is the essential problem is with the press. I mean, I have a poem. I don't remember it exactly, but what if you've been there and had a perfectly good view at Fort Marcy Park, and you had a perfectly good view, but then who could you tell it to? If you were an eyewitness to it, who could you tell it to? When the press is controlled, I mean, they'd likely get you killed if you try to tell it to somebody. And that's the big problem. There's many examples of that of people in the Kennedy case, the people that saw things they weren't supposed to see. Well, then who do you tell it to?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, let's get back to that 28-piece note that he supposedly left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the things that he allegedly wrote, what kind of sense can you make of those? I mean, it's just...
Well, it's sophomoric in the first place. It's poorly written. This guy was noted for the elegance of his legal briefs. He was a Davidson man, after all.
Of course.
It was a good liberal arts college where we do an awful lot of writing and reading and writing. He was a top graduate, although he was a bit of a party boy at Davidson. He's president of Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity, which is the leading rich boy party fraternity, by the way, and actually had a citation for, it was his only previous brush with the law that I know of, where he was arrested for carrying several cases of beer in his car, taking it to an off-campus party. I guess I'm not quite sure what the law was that he was in violation of for that, but that's the only thing. Also, it was an inside joke that no SAE guy would ever be seen with a date with anybody but a beautiful girl.
So obviously gets rid of that image of him with Hillary Clinton right away.
He'd definitely be a great disappointment to his fraternity brothers at SAE to be linked romantically with Hillary Clinton. Alex Bernhardt would be disappointed in him. He was the scion of Bernhardt Industries, so one of my classmates in SAE there. Or Glenn Haynes from the Haynes Hosiery fortune is also a classmate of mine at Davidson.
Huh.
But today. I think he may be an SAE. I'm not sure if Glenn was SAE, but a good-looking guy and very confident, as wealthy people tend to be.
Huh. And, yes, that's for
but
sure.
But Foster was part of that, and but he straightened up at Arkansas and was finished tops his class at the University of Arkansas Law School. And then he writes his peevish sophomore note, supposedly. And by the way, there were handwriting examiners who looked at the, there was a copy of the note that the Wall Street Journal got a copy of. I'm not quite sure how they got it, and had it examined. Reginald Alton was one of the examiners who was, now he's deceased, of Oxford University, who's the leading documents examiner, like he found some purportedly written by Shakespeare or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He that was his specialty. And he declared it a poor forgery. They'd only given it, they gave it to one person, a Capitol Hill policeman, and one sample of Foster's handwriting to compare it to. And he didn't tell him where, they told him where it came from.
Oh.
So, you know, he knew what he was supposed to say. Oh, yeah,
sure.
That's Foster's. I mean, it was hardly a dispassionate, disinterested authentication, but Alton's and these two other handwriting examiners was somewhat more disinterested, although it was Ruddy sort of midwife that. And they say it was Strategic Investments newsletter that paid for it, but they tell people that Ruddy was really behind it. But Alton seemed to be a very genuine guy. I met him when he came to Washington, and he liked my poetry, by the way. I was really pleased with that.
Of course he would.
Yeah. In fact, he gave me a couple of lines from Alexander Pope that I used in the head of one of the part two or part three. Ask you what provocation I have had, the strong antipathy of good to bad. Great line. You know, that seemed to be motivating me, like Alexander Pope. And,
yes.
Yeah, I like that. Anyway, we're getting off the track here. What were we talking about?
Okay, we're talking about the note, and what were some of the things?
Oh yeah,
that...
the peevish note. They were
one of the things that he said the FBI lied in their report to the AG.
It's not very specific about anything, and the main thing that they're ruining people for sport, you know. And James Stewart, the guy produced his book Blood Sport based upon that line. Here they ruin people for sport. Yeah. Ah, come on. They weren't ruining him. He was only tangentially affected by these various Clinton scandals.
Right.
It's ridiculous, the idea that he was thrust into a fit of depression, about as ridiculous as if he was a lovesick puppy.
Right.
Depressed for that. But he wasn't depressed at all. And even if he were depressed, they still murdered depressed people, and all the physical evidence shows that he was murdered.
Right.
Yeah.
So who do you think was behind the murder, and what was their motive to shut him up over the Clintons' financial dealings?
That was my first thought, and then my second thought was it comes from in Arkansas, the murder that took place there of the bodyguard and his widow, the security, gosh, I can't think of names now, my age. But she connected him. This was reported by Ambrose Evans Pritchard. Said Foster and her husband once came back from Mena Airport with a trunk full of $100 bills. Well, that connects him to the drug trade through Mena Airport.
Right.
Jerry Parks, it was Jane Parks who told that to Ambrose Evans Pritchard. So, you know, if you got a guy, if it happened in D.C., it would be a likely drug-related homicide. That would be the first thought. Here's a guy that's associated with people, associated with the drug business, and he ends up violently dead by gunshot. Drug-related homicide. Happens all the time in D.C. That would be the first thought. That was my next thought. And then there are lots of other things. He was handling the account of Jackson Stevens. Jackson Stevens is the guy that brought BCCI to the United States, a brokerage house in Little Rock. Was a classmate at the Naval Academy with Jimmy Carter, Jackson Stevens, but with a lot of nefarious connections with CIA and international drug smuggling. The biggest scandal in the world is still is that Bank of
right.
Credit and Commerce International.
And, of course, some of that would have been included in the financial dealings. I mean, certainly.
Right, right.
Said,
and the Rose Law Firm was...
Yes. We do need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Our guest today has been Dave Martin. His website is dcdave.com. And, you know, it's very interesting. Okay, you were talking about the Rose Law Firm. You were talking about the MENA airport. And then you have the brown car at the park with the Arkansas license plate. And then one of the things in that that note that was torn up into 28 pieces, one of the things that I thought was very interesting says the public will never believe the innocence of the Clintons and their loyal staff. What does that refer to? The innocence of the Clintons regarding what?
Well, that's a good question. I have a little poetic exchange called The Plotters, Act 2, Scene 1, somewhere in the West Wing, three shadowy female figures. That's the scene. This is all about the note. All, this is the chorus, double, double, toll, all three of them, double, double, toil and trouble, shredder, churn, and coffee bubble. Then H, M, and S are the three shadowy female figures. H says, fetch me up a legal pad. Think of things that turned out bad, mild transgressions, if confessed, that might have made the man depressed. Some foul-up in the legal biz. It need not be entirely his. The better should it minor be, and surely not a felony. M says, this is tough, for goodness sakes. Let's just say he made mistakes. I know you say we don't need many, but I can't really think of any. And then S says, okay, then let's move along. Let's have him write, we did no wrong. That no matter what we say, they won't believe us anyway. H says, good, that gets us off the hook for all the liberties we took. But still, I think they'll need to find some reasons for his troubled mind, things that made the man decide to end it all with suicide. M says, what about the folks who lie in the GOP and the FBI? And the lack of inhibition in the Wall Street Journal's Inquisition? S says, I think it sounds a trifle petty for one we know is strong and steady. We'd have a chance, we'd take a chance if we should try it. I fear the press would never buy it. H says, oh, if the it's watchdogs that you fear, worry not, we have none here. Whatever we should do or say, they're trained to look the other way. And S says, then as it's written, let it stand. Now have it put in Foster's hand. M says, when shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain? And H says, when the hurly-burly's done, when the battle's lost and won. S says, why must we even meet at all? Let's just do a conference call. And then all return to double, double, toil and trouble, shredder, churn, and coffee bubble. I think that's about as accurate depiction of how the note got written as what we've been told.
Sure. And it all basically gets back to the press.
Exactly. Don't worry about what the press are going to do. We got them pretty well. They're well trained.
Yes.
By the way, I got interested in that the product you're selling for the kids that disrespect their parents. Or if they've got anything for daughters-in-laws?
I don't know. You'll have to check into that. Let's hope she's not listening.
Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, thank you so much, Dave, for being on the program. It's been delightful.
Okay, it's been my pleasure.
All righty, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.
The next